Here's another trivia about the month of March. It is a month that is named after Mars, not the planet, but Mars is the Roman god of war. And since much of the Roman Empire's history is about war, you can imagine how important a god Mars is in the Roman pantheon. Indeed, many festivals were observed in his honor, making sure that he is pleased, and pleasing Mars meant in the superstition of the Romans' victory in warfare. And the Roman soldiers were the most feared soldiery in the ancient world. That is until in the 5th century, there was an erosion of discipline and training, and Rome, the city, fell in the year 410 of the Common Era. And the empire itself fell in the year 476. Now, that reminds us that one successful victory and another does not guarantee perpetual victory if discipline erodes. And it is in this light that I want to follow up on our short series last February on the call to kill sin with one a little bit longer. And we are looking at the very first sin that occurred in human history. And it is for that reason and among others that it is called original sin in theology. Now, there are several reasons for this term. As I've said, in history, it is the first. But more importantly, in the teaching of Scripture, the sin of Adam is imputed to all mankind. And in that sense, it is the original sin. Ang kasalanan ni Adan ay hindi lang niya kasalanang personal. Ang kanyang kasalanan ay kasalanan ng isang kumatawan sa buong sangkatauhan. Kung kaya't ang kasalanan niya ay ibinilang na kasalanan natin. Now, kung ang iyong reaksyon ay ayoko niyan, gusto kong ako'y tumayo lamang para sa aking sarili na walang kakatawan. Kung yan ang iyong reaksyon, isang pagkakasala mo lang, wala ka ng pag-asa. Ang tanging pag-asa mo ay merong kang kinatawan. At ang kinatawan natin kay Adan, merong katumbas na kinatawan ng pangalawa o huling Adan, ayon sa kasulatan, yan ang ating Panginoong Hesukristo. So Adam's sin was original sin, because that was the sin imputed to all mankind. It is his sin that constituted us all as sinners. And the only hope we have to be saved from sin is to have another representative, another federal head. And that is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me add another reason why it is called original sin. The fall of man into sin is a pattern of how sin is conceived until it becomes falling into sin. Pinapakita rito paano ang kasalanan ay nagsisimula, at mula sa pagsisimula, paano ito nauuwi sa pagkahulog sa kasalanan. Now, it is in this latter sense that I will approach this series. There are lessons on sin, on temptation, and its aftermath. But let me stress at the outset that I, and I hope you do, believe in the historicity of the Genesis account. On that point, I will make no compromises with anyone. I believe Genesis is historic. I believe Genesis is authentic. I am aware that it is fashionable in learned circles to reject its historicity, to treat it as best as only poetic. But if you are a Christian, this is my simple challenge. You have to take into account that Jesus treats Adam and Eve as historical characters. He does not treat them as mere poetic figures like a legend or myth. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, he considers Adam and Eve as the beginning. Sila ang pasimula. And therefore, he treated them as real man and woman of the beginning. So if you are a Christian, you have to deal with your Lord and Savior who believed in the historicity of the Genesis account. And in fact, only on the basis of the historicity of Adam as our representative will there be a basis for Jesus as representative, as our Savior. If you don't accept the historicity of Adam, you also reject the historicity and authenticity of another representative for sinners like you and me. and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want that left to the sideways as far as the issue is concerned. It is historic, but what do we learn from this first sin that occurred in human history? I invite you to just one text, the very opening verse of Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Now questions will immediately be raised. Are we talking here of a real serpent, a real snake? Snake as an animal? Well, of course we are. It is a real snake, and in animal terms, crafty among animals in the garden. But we learn in later revelation that this animal was used by Satan for his objective of temptation. New Testament verses abound concerning this fact that the devil was behind the use of this animal, the snake, the serpent. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, Paul tells the Corinthians by way of warning, "I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning." And then later on in verse 14, he identifies that serpent as even Satan deceives the whole, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So the analogy is clear. Satan used the serpent in order to tempt Eve. Then you have Revelation 12 verse 9. "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And again, another reference that confirms that while it was a real serpent in the garden, that serpent, that snake, was used by Satan for his purpose of temptation. So I am satisfied with the explanation that Satan used a real animal, a snake known for craftiness. And here is the character of Satan as tempter, of which the serpent is the external equipment. He is crafty. He is cunning. And my message is the crafty tempter behind temptation reveals its power to those who are tempted. Ang katusuhan ng manunukso sa likod ng ating mga tukso ay nagpapakita ng kapangyarihan nito sa mga tinutukso. The crafty tempter behind temptation reveals its power to those who are tempted. Now the word in Hebrew for crafty has both a positive as well as negative connotations. Many times the same word in the book of Proverbs means prudent, wise. And in that sense it is positive. And of course we cannot take the positive sense in this text. Crafty here has the negative connotation of one who is shrewd. To call someone shrewd means that he knows how to trick and manipulate people for his advantage. Manggagancho ang sinasabi natin sa Tagalog. Mandaraya, naglalansi. And we definitely see this character of the tempter here. And let me tell you what he was in the Garden of Eden. He remains the same. If anything, he must have learned from thousands of years of practice of his craft of temptation. And he knows more the character of man. He knows more especially the nature of sinners. And the way he has tempted in the garden, we see that even more sophisticated in our day. So in what way do we see the craftiness of the devil from the very origin of temptation until now? Let me suggest two ways. First, the tempter blends with any environment. Ang manunukso ay nakikibagay sa anumang kalagayan. The tempter blends with any environment. And secondly, the tempter works by winsome instrument. Ang manunukso ay kumakasangkapan ng mga kaakit-akit na gamit. The tempter works by winsome instrument. So the first thing that we see in this event, we will leave for now the question of the tempter to the woman for next Lord's Day. But now we are just concentrating on what the tempter has done in using the serpent. The first, the tempter blends with any environment. Now there is no suggestion here of surprise on the part of Eve to find a snake in that part of the garden. Walang mungkahi dito na nagulat itong si Eve at siya'y napatakbo nang makita niya ang haahas doon sa dakong iyon ng halamanan. It belongs to the class of animals that would be called here in our translation beasts. In the NIV, wild animals. Now remember what God said of His creation, all things are good. Therefore, the serpent in and of itself as an animal would not be considered at this point in a sinful condition. The appearance that makes a snake disgusting to most normal people was to be only after the curse. Well, you know, there are people, abnormal, who are attracted to snakes, but that is something which is not the majority of people. Most of us would be disgusted by the appearance of a snake. His appearance at this point to Eve is normal. There was nothing unacceptable. Now the tempter is still using the same approach. What we learn here is that the power of temptation is at most when it is most normal and comfortable to the tempted. Pinakamabisa ang tukso kung ito ay nasaan nyo ng normal, lalo na't maginhawa para sa tinutukso. Now, we may have our idea of places of temptation, and usually we think places of pleasure, maybe like cinemas, drinking parties, and those places, they are places of temptation. And we might comfort ourselves with a thought that we do not go to those places of temptation. The fact is that the tempter emerges in his best disguise when it is most normal. Pinakamabisa ang balat kayo ng manunukso kung saan napaka-normal at maginhawa para sa tinutukso. Now, we are not told how many days Adam and Eve had been in the garden. Eve may just be doing her routinary and regular walk in the garden, and it would have been ordinary for her to see animals. And remember that at this point, Adam and Eve constituted sinless humanity. They had no sin. And they were in a sinless environment. So it's not a place you would call a place of temptation, a place of sin. It was sinless people in a sinless garden until the devil made use of the serpent. What we see here is how the tempter adapted. Looking around for an animal to use, he seized on a serpent. And when the serpent speaks to Eve, she found it the most ordinary thing to strike a conversation. So we are mistaken if we associate temptation with particular wicked places or sinful environments. It is wrong to imagine that there are places that are free of temptation. Why? Not even the church is free of temptation. In the Old Testament, God's rebuke came to the people of Judah. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, you profane the sacrifice. You say the table of the Lord is defiled and its fruit, its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hands, says the Lord? He's talking to them in their activity of worship, in the activity of sacrifice in the precincts of the temple, and there God could see their contemptible acts, how they found the Sabbath a weariness, and they could not wait until the Sabbath is over so that they could go back either to their trade or their pleasure. And they were going through the motion of Sabbath keeping, and they were going through the sacrifices and all the paraphernalia of sacrifice. And yet all the while, God can see through their bad motive and spirit. And this is revealed by how they choose what they will sacrifice. They choose the most disposable of their animals, and that's what they offered, rather than, according to the law of Moses, that which is without spot or blemish. So even in the temple ritual, they were sinning. If that happened in the Old Testament, you better believe it, it can happen in the church. Now, we must not overstate the power of the devil. At the cross, Satan, as we said last Sunday, had his fatal blow. John 16:11, as Jesus on the last night before he was arrested, told his disciples in the upper room, because the ruler of this world is judged, as he was going to the cross, one comfort that he used as consolation to himself is that by going through the cross, the devil is going to be judged. But he is still a force today. Someday, he will have his final and eternal casting out from God. But I warn you, remember what the book of Revelation says in the vision of John. He saw the devil and all who worship the beasts. And those who worship the beast represent those who are followers of false religion, followers of a false message of salvation. And if you are such, the casting out of the devil is simply the lead for the casting out of all those who belong to him. Someday he will be cast out, no longer to molest believers. But for now, he is still very much around. The tempter can be in the church. He can be in the workplace. He can be in the household. He can be in your classroom. He is all around. Now, we have apps today to point us to the right direction for our location search. And sometimes I'm surprised that what I thought would not be given any attention, yet these apps know where they are. Well, if man can invent these applications, better believe it, the devil knows better where he should be, and send his cohorts, send his demonic hosts where they can be assigned in order to make their temptations. The challenge to us, brethren, is make special watch of sins that appear normal and ordinary in society. Bantayan mong lalo ang mga kasalanan na sa anyo ay normal na at karaniwan sa lipunan. It is the success story of sin that in its many forms today, it has become ordinary and acceptable. In many advanced societies, it is the Christian who is still against certain sins who will be considered fanatical. In Western countries, speaking against homosexuality as a sinful lifestyle is considered a hate crime, and that can land you in jail. So watch those practices, sins, lifestyle that society tells you is normal. When cheating is considered clever and diligent study a waste of time, it can be a pressure on a Christian student determined not to cheat and not to be a source of cheating. When obscene jesting and racy gossips are cool in the office, the believer will be found not cool, not fun, if he refuses to join along. We use this morning in our Sunday school, 1 Peter 4, verse 4, that says, with respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. Why are they surprised? Because everybody else is doing it, and you may be in such a situation in your workplace or wherever, where everybody is expected to do it, and when you refuse, they may label you with everything just to cast you out. So I warn any of you who may be immersed in one of these, quote, ordinary things, which the Bible still calls sin. Baka nalululong ka o napapasama ka sa mga gawain na para sa karamihan ay karaniwan, ngunit tinatawag pa rin ang salita ng Diyos na kasalanan. Yan man ay chismis at iba pang mga karaniwang gawain. And watch yourself when you are becoming uncaring, perhaps thick-skinned to your surrounding sins. You see, the tempter blended well in Eden, even in a sinless environment. And better believe that the tempter will blend very well in a place that is marked by sin. The danger is, without realizing it, you are blending along with him. So you must watch. I was reading this week the conversion of Dean Bailey. He went through multiple homosexual relationships until he was converted. He wrote his experience in a book with the title Beyond the Shades of Gray, written in 2011. And one memorable statement he made, and this is credible from one who has gone through it, he said, homosexuality is just another human brokenness. That's the reality of a sinful practice, even if it is now labeled ordinary, commonplace, and acceptable. It is still sin. So the tempter will blend with your environment, and you need to watch. He's crafty. Secondly, the tempter works by winsome instrument. Again, why did the tempter use the serpent? Now, being part of God's creation, as I've said, the serpent at this point is not sinful by itself. It is an animal. But we see here a method that is still in use today by the tempter, but as old as the Garden of Eden. He uses an instrument that will be attractive, winsome by itself, to the object of temptation. Even the neutral and the innocent can be the tempter's instrument for his work of temptation. Kahit ang walang kasalanan, walang buwang, ay maaaring gamitin ng manunukso para sa kanyang layunin na manukso at akitin, lalo ang mga alagad. Isipin ninyo, ano kaya't pumunta ang manunukso kay Eve, kay Eva, na hawak-hawak na niya ang bunga na sinabi ng Panginoon ay bawal. Maraming akala, mansanas, palagay ko, balimbing. Pero ano man yun, ang punto ay, ano kaya't hawak na niya yung bunga na sinabi ng Diyos ay huwag kakainin? Palagay ba ninyo ay makakapasok siya sa pakikipag-usap sa babae, baka takbuhan siya. And that's not what the devil did. He is not so foolish to approach the tempted in that way. Instead, he used an innocent instrument, the serpent. As I've said, there was no alarm as far as the woman was concerned. Between the tempted and the sin itself, there is a layer of something winsome to the tempted. For the woman, it is the serpent, known for its craftiness among the wild animals of the field. And that's the devil's craft. As we have read in 2 Corinthians 11:14, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, and his purpose is to make false teachings sound good. It sounds angelic. And this is his approach still. No Christian falls immediately into a sin. Christians who fall into an equal yoking does not contact someone to have a relationship. Instead, they have their innocent chats and texting and calls and perhaps meetings and so forth and so on that appear so innocent until the craftiness of the devil catches them in his wiles. Remember that this proved effective to someone who was at that point sinless. At that point in a state of sinlessness. How much easier this tactic wins out over believers who, while redeemed, still have remaining sin. Well, we see sometimes trucks that carry combustible substance, and you see the bold warnings in letters, no smoking within 10 meters. Well, take seriously that warning when it comes to sin, because the explosiveness is worse. I challenge you to evaluate the occasions that become the tempter's instrument for temptation to you. Timbangin mo ang mga okasyon, ang mga pagkakataon na nagiging gamit ng manunukso upang tuksuhin ka. Some occasions, I concede, are necessity to one's life and one's vocation. And pray for grace to be delivered. That part of the Lord's Prayer that says, deliver us from evil. And then other occasions are just not necessary, but only for one's convenience. And there is only one way to deal with it. Cut it off. Now, we can at least understand that Eve at this point may not be aware that she was being tempted to sin. At this point, she had no idea of sin. But you and I do. We know those occasions that constitute as temptation to us. We may already have fallen into these temptations before, perhaps time and again. So you know. And yet many times we have not learned to cut off the right hand and pluck out the right eye. It could be a TV program. It could be a website, a print material, certain companies, topics of discussion. Now, the idea of talking to the serpent might have appeared a good idea to Eve, and so do occasions to us. Nothing wrong with them. But that is precisely the tactic of the crafty tempter, the layer of the innocent, the layer of the attractive and the winsome. And it is along that line that Paul repeats the call of the Old Testament to the Corinthians, surrounded by many temptations of immorality, when he said in 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. And repeat something of that sort in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from every form of evil. Hindi mo lang titingnan yung mismong masama, yung mismong kasalanan, kundi ano ang maaring maging okasyon, maging pagkakataon upang dalhin ka sa kasalanan. Now, this may vary from Christian to Christian, and we should not be judgmental. Our occasions of temptations will vary. Someone's good company is another's temptation to sin. And it will not be the same. But you will have to be intensely honest to yourself. What is your occasion to sin? What is to you the devil's serpent? If only Eve ran away the moment the serpent talked, but it is just one of the what ifs that will never have an answer. But you and I can still run away from our serpent. And if we don't, we will have the same experience of the fall. The first time John Calvin became a minister in Geneva, it came to a point when the magistrates, the officials of the city, wanted him to compromise with people they wanted to please. And Calvin refused. And the magistrates gave him an ultimatum. If he was not to compromise, he will have to let go of the ministry and he will be banished. Geneva was the leading city almost of all Europe at that time. And that meant giving up the prominence of that ministry, the support and material income. But John Calvin chose to run away. John Calvin chose to have a very small, unknown ministry in a less known city of Strasbourg. And he spent 3 years in that city, satisfied that he would rather keep his conscience than a high position. He ran away from temptation. And 3 years after, in a moment of crisis in Geneva, the magistrates ran to John Calvin, begging him to return to address the crisis. And John Calvin did. And since then, he was no longer pressured again and spent many years in Geneva. And many of his fruit of ministry, we are beneficiaries today because he ran away. When he was tempted, he ran away. And that is what we are called to do. Remember that behind the temptation is a crafty tempter. Pray. Pray very much, but then resist. He is resistible because he is the defeated enemy. If only we will resist. James 4:7, submit yourselves unto God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. So with that assurance, let us indeed offer ourselves to God in our moments of temptation. The tempter may be behind the attractive serpent, but we know better now. We should know better, and we should be able to respond by the grace of God. And the assurance that we can is because the tempter is a defeated enemy, as our last song puts it, "My God, how many are my fears," as we express our fears. But the second verse says, "The lying tempter would persuade there's no relief in heaven, and all my swelling sins appear too big to be forgiven. But thou, my glory and my strength, shall on the tempter tread, shall silence all my threatening guilt, and raise my drooping head." This is our assurance that the tempter is a defeated enemy, and we are but taking the spoils of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, aming mabuting Ama, nawa nga ay seryosohin namin ang mga panghahamon ni Apostol Pablo sa aming teksto na aming patayin ang aming mga kasalanan. At alam namin hindi namin ito makakaya sa aming sariling lakas, sa iyo kami tumitingin. And Father, as we have just sung, may we be able to say, "If ever I love thee, Lord Jesus, it is now." And yet true love to the Lord Jesus will produce the imperative of mortifying. Not mortifying sin in general, but mortifying our personal sins. And that is where the
challenge of mortification becomes most difficult, for we may be ready to accept the charge of our sinfulness and our wickedness, our evil. It is when it becomes very personal that we wince against the charge. Yet this is the only way to really have mortification in our lives. So help us, Lord, to orient our mortification process to Jesus Christ. We are killing our sins not to earn favor, but rather because of favor already received by grace in Christ alone. So may it be gratitude that is prominent in our motive, and in a thankful heart, discouragement will not take root. So we pray, Lord, for thoughts of your mercy, of grace to us day by day. Help us also, Lord, to focus on the specifics of our sins, to be able to name them, not to rename them with more virtuous sound, but to name them for what they are, as evil sins. And we ask that we may know how to deal with them specifically. Help us to begin with our interior, the attitude, the beliefs that govern our behavior, and bring us, Lord, to that day-to-day life that should characterize the believers: repentance, change of mind, and laying open our hearts to you, for you know us already. And we pray, Lord, that we may seriously uproot the provocations to our sins. And this is what blinds many Christians, that though they can name our sins, are surrounded by occasions in themselves neutral, even good, but they become to us provocation to sin. May we learn to accept the challenge of the Lord Jesus: cut off the right hand, pluck out the right eye. May we not yield to the deceptive alternative to do it gradually for face out, but rather do it radically and surgically. Again, we confess to you our inadequacy, especially as we know how painful this can be. But you are our God, and Jesus is our Lord, who has died and rose, has risen from the dead for us. Give us that commitment as an imperative of all our favors. May we love the Lord Jesus, and with it, the desire that all follies of sin we will mortify. Help us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Situations for Eden was sinless, and yet the tempter adapted even to a sinless environment. So we may find the tempter even in sacred places as the church, in holy activities such as worship, and in many other ways. The tempter will not, through his hosts and demonic cohorts, he will not let us go in peace. He will bother us with every form of temptation. So help us, Lord, to make special watch of those issues of sin that may be appearing to be normal and acceptable, especially in our society. May we not lose our sensitivity to sin, and that we may always be mindful when the tempter is simply blending with the environment, and we resolve not to blend with it. And also we learn that the tempter works by winsome instrument. He did not face the woman with the immediate fruit of what is forbidden, but rather there is that layer of the innocent, even the attractive, in the serpent. And that is the same approach that he uses until now to tempt us
to use occasions that are in themselves attractive, perhaps morally neutral, even good to some extent, and yet making us vulnerable to sin. Father, grant us discernment and give us the maturity and commitment to run away, to flee when temptation comes. We pray for those who are here who perhaps are immersed in such a situation of temptation. Grant that they may have the strength and the conviction to run away while they yet can. And we pray that all this we will do, not because we can do it by way of resolution and by way of sheer discipline, but only because of what Christ has already earned as victory by his death on the cross. The ruler of the world has been judged. And on that basis, help us, Lord, to gain our own experience of victory from the victory that is Christ's. So be with us in the application of this and make us truly beware of the crafty tempter who molests and harasses us, and make us commit ourselves to the way of holiness. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.